Praise his name. Well, he's so wonderful, saint. Every opportunity we have. Amen. Let's stand together, if you would. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so appreciative. Lord, as I said, every opportunity we have, Lord, it's so precious to our hearts. Oh, God, may you just bless each and every one. Father, you look down in our hearts. You know our range. You know our thoughts. You know everything about us, our needs. And, Lord, we pray, Father, that every need be met to us. Just speak to us specially, Lord. Even in the songs and hymns we sing tonight, Lord. May it, Father, minister to us. And, oh, God, prepare us for thy word when it comes forth, that you may speak to us and we may grow in you. We ask all this and we thank you so much in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. He's so wonderful to us, saints. Hallelujah. I only believe books if you turn with me on page 32. Amen. Praise his holy name. By and by, when the morning comes. Are you looking forward to that morning? Amen. It's getting close, saints. It really is. We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempests oft succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. Amen. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathering home, we will tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands, one of food and one of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to his word, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, by. Blessed promised land, but he guides us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die, for we'll understand it better. Amen. Think about it. Hallelujah. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathering home, we will tell. Temptations, hidden snares often take us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed for many a thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test, when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better. Amen. Oh, what a day. Oh, by and by, when the morning, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcome, when we'll understand it better by and by. Amen. Do you stop and think every once in a while what it's going to be like? Amen. When that by and by comes. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Page 98, the same books. Amen. Looking forward to that day.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. That day our Lord will come back. Hallelujah.
I am watching for the coming of the glad millennial day, when our blessed Lord shall come and catch His waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray, for our Lord is coming back to earth again. Amen. Get ready. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound 1,000 years. We'll have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Jesus coming back will be the answer to her sorrowing cry, for the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth and sea and sky. God shall take away all sickness, and the sufferer's tears will dry, when our Savior shall come back. Oh, what a day. Hallelujah. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound 1,000 years. We'll have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Yes, the ransomed of the Lord shall come to Zion then with joy, and in all His holy mountain nothing hurts or shall destroy. Perfect peace shall reign in every heart, and love without alloy, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Amen. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound 1,000 years. We'll have tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Then the sin and sorrow, pain and death of this dark world shall cease, in a glorious reign with Jesus of 1,000 years of peace. All the earth is groaning, crying for that day of, amen, for our Jesus to come back to earth again. Amen. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, Satan will be bound 1,000 years. Have no tempter then, after Jesus will come back. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, what a day we're looking forward to, saints. Amen.
All the stuff has been wrote in the Bible. Different things. How there's a tree that just changes its fruit. Amen. Constantly. Lion laying down with the lamb. No fight, no death. It's going to be a wonderful time, saints. Amen. And our capstone books. Amen. Page 96. Hallelujah. Oh, what a happy time that's sure to be. Amen. Praise His name.
Oh, what a happy time it's sure to be. Jesus coming after me. I hear Him calling me away from this old world forever to stay. And when He takes me by the hand in that blessed promised land. Oh, what a happy time it's sure to be. Amen.
Sing it from your heart, say.
Oh, what a happy day. Oh, that will be when we gather there. What a happy day,
amen.
When we climb those golden stairs, we'll be with those who've gone before. James and John, Brother Branham and more. What a happy time that's sure to be.
Amen. Hallelujah.
When I walk into heaven fair, see my blessed Savior there. He'll place a crown upon my head, give me a robe of white to wear. I'll walk on streets of purest gold, live forever and not grow old. Shout and sing to the endless ages. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, what a happy day. Oh, that will be when we gather there. What a happy day. Oh, when we climb those golden stairs, we'll be with those who've gone before, James and John, Brother Branham and more. What a happy time that's sure to be. Amen. Sing it again. Oh, what a happy day. Oh, that will be when we gather there. What a happy day. Oh, when we climb those golden stairs, we'll meet for those who've gone before, James and John, Brother Branham and more. Oh, what a happy time that's sure to be. What a happy day. Amen. You think it's going to be a happy day? Happy for you. Amen. What a day that's going to be, saints. Amen. See the one that died on a cross for us. Amen. Price that we couldn't pay. No way. Bound for hell. And he stepped in. Kinsman Redeemer died, paid the price. Oh, what a day. Oh, the day we'll be able to worship him. Oh, just throw down at his feet. What could you do? Oh, how will you act? Amen. There's a song, saints. I love it. It's, can you imagine what it's going to be like? How will you react? Will you jump and shout? Or will you fall down on your knees and cry? There's a lot of truth to that song. How will you dance all over the place just with joy busting in your heart? Or will you be able to do nothing but just worship him? Oh, I don't know, but I can't wait to be there. Amen. Oh, he's wonderful. How many have a request? Amen. If you'd like to stand with me, take the request before him. Amen. He knows every heart, don't matter where we're at. He knows. That's what I love about him, saints. And he cares, and he's already met the need. We just pray that we have the faith. Give us strength to believe him. Amen. Hold it on your heart as we go before him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so appreciative. So thankful for your grace and your mercy in our lives. Father, it don't matter what time, kind of trials and tests we may go through here in this life. Father, you bore the pain. You bore the suffering. You met the need. You paid the price. Father, and not only that, but Lord, you walked in the same steps that we do here on earth. You come down and walked in flesh, so you had the pain, the sickness, the agony. You felt all of it. For Father, if we haven't walked through someone's shoes, we can't feel for them. But Lord, you did. So Lord, you know what we're going through. So Father, we just pray that you would just reach down and touch every heart, every hand that was raised. Meet the individual needs. You know what they are and what they mean to us. And Father, we just want to say thank you. By faith, believing and accepting the price that you paid, knowing it's a finished work. And we're so appreciative of that. But Lord, let us not be like the nine lepers, I believe it was, that just walked off. But let us be the one that comes back and says, thank you. Oh, God, we love you so. Bless us now. Bless the remainder of the service that you get the glory and honor and everything. We ask in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. He's wonderful, saints. Hallelujah. I believe my wife had a song tonight. You may be seated. Amen. Praise his name.
Just suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be. supreme sacrifice that was needed to buy eternal life for you and me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul I'm so glad he was willing to drink his bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. And I'm so glad he didn't call to heaven's angels. From my hands, pull these nails that torment me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost.
Amen. Price he paid, saints. Never, ever forget it. Hallelujah. And don't ever forget that it's free, and it's for you. Amen. Let's stand together, if you would. Ask our brother to come. Sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Ask her to come.
Only believe. Only believe. Oh.
For a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, once more we have had an opportunity to come. And Lord, just a little Thursday evening service as we've gathered in, and those that have decided to join us, Lord, through way of recording. And Lord, we're just thankful for each and every time we can come and open up your precious word. And Lord, we just ask you to take your word and search through our hearts, and somehow, Lord, let it touch our hearts. And Lord, that it would cause us maybe to draw closer, Lord, or to search a little deeper, Lord, for those things that you would have for us. And Lord, most of all, we want to make sure that you receive the glory and the honor for each and everything. And Lord, we commit this service into your hands and just ask that your will be done in all that was said and done, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. While you're still standing, those of you that are here, I'm going to turn over to Matthew, the 7th chapter, if you'd like to turn with us. Amen. Just to bring a little, maybe not really a, a deep message, but just some things to stir our hearts as we look into God's precious word and to ask ourselves, where do I stand in the sight of what God has got for us here? And so thankful if any of you have joined us here that are not part of our actual congregation, but joining us, we pray that something will be said to help you as well. And each and every one, we're trying to get some new equipment, some things to make things a little better and the sound quality a little better. So Lord willing, we'll maybe have that here in a few days. So if while you're standing there in Matthew, the 7th chapter, I'm going to read that 13th and 14th verse. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. Realizing Jesus speaking to us here, as his words were recorded and placed on these pages for each and every one of us down through time to measure ourselves up with and to take stock of where we stand today. And I'd like to go on over there to the Matthew, the 21st verse in the same way, in the same chapter there, the 7th chapter, and begin. And he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth the sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And my little thought this evening, as we've gathered here, each and every one of us, every time we gather in these doors, we gather to hear the word of God. And we gather to hear what he has for us and what he expects from my life. And each one of us, as we gather, each one of us has to weigh ourselves. I don't look to my brother. My brother's not looking to me. But each one of us are prayerfully considering God's precious word each and every time it comes forth. And we take it and we measure ourselves up by it. And we find that in many places, as Jesus was saying here, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in. And he told us that way would be narrow. And it would be a way that not many would want to walk in. And we find that as we see in God's precious word, the way of the Lord has never been well looked upon by the masses. And how it's always been a few that was called and a few that he chose. And how as they came and began to walk with the Lord, how it separated them sometimes, many a times from their friends, maybe from their family, from their different circumstances in life, and it kind of set them apart. They were different. They had a different desire, a different longing in their life, and they didn't partake in a lot of things anymore that maybe they once did. And how each and every one of us are invited to walk in that way and to enter in at that narrow way and to find what God is looking for in our hearts and in our lives. And I always put you in remembrance to always watch each and every time we gather and God's word comes forth, to watch the moving of the Holy Spirit. God does nothing out of place or out of time. He has a reason that a message comes this time and a message comes the next time. And if you watch them, they all just flow right together and they'll move in continuity if it's the Holy Spirit leading us through each phase. But we must follow what God is trying to accomplish in our lives. And he's called each one of us. And it's if each one of us that are taking the time this evening to sit down and to listen and to hear God's word speak to our hearts, there's something that was drawing us that knocked on our heart that got our attention enough to begin to listen. And if we're listening, there's something drawing us and God's got a reason for doing that. And as we go through these scriptures and read them, I want you to keep that in mind. We're just not here to fill time and I'm just not here to read scriptures to you to pass your evening away. But there's a reason. There should be something burning in our hearts. There's a pecking, a longing, something that's drawing me. Lord, it's what's in this precious word for me? What's there that I can grab a hold of that's going to change my life? What's going to make me different tomorrow than I was today? And that's what we're looking for each and every time. And maybe some of us have been in the precious word a long time. And maybe some of us are just starting to walk in the precious word. But nevertheless, that drawing never dulls, for no matter where you get in Christ, there's always something drawing you. And it's going to draw you to the day that we walk off of this earth and enter that eternity. And thank God for that desire and that pull that's there pulling us every day, that's drawing on us. Because it's placed there by Him, and only by Him has it come. But I'd like to turn over here to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, and just catch a scripture. Something here, we go through these. Amen. Just a back in Jeremiah here in the 17th, and just a little bitty scripture. And I want you to think about this, as we mention it many times, that the Lord knows our thoughts. He knows my desires. You know, I may sit here this evening beside someone and they know nothing about me. They don't know what I'm thinking. They don't know what I feel. But God is looking down in each and every one of our hearts right now. And He's weighing us. And He knows how we feel. He knows if maybe there's something working down on the inside and but I don't want so-and-so to know about it yet. I feel these things churning. Well, this is an individual affair. And God has invited each one of us. I have a wife and a family. And many of us have husbands and wives and families. But God calls individuals to serve Him and to walk with Him. And He don't place everybody may not have the same draw. Not everybody may feel that same pull. But to each one of His own, they have that and they feel that. And as it begins to work, you know, I was thinking, as our brother mentioned Sunday, about Nicodemus. He came by the way of night to know the way of rights, as the little song goes. But you know, he didn't want nobody to see him, but he wanted to know. Yes. And he came looking, he came seeking. What is the answer to this? Yes. And oftentimes that's how God gets our attention. Something grabs a hold of us and it begins to draw. And maybe at first we're just a little bit withdrawn. I don't know about this. I don't know about that. But I want, there's something burning. Well, give it all you've got. However you can, if you have to hide in the dark, climb up a tree like Zacchaeus did to see the Lord, whatever it takes, that's what we're going to do. Because there's something drawing. When you look at little Zacchaeus, that drawing began in his heart. He just had to see who Jesus was. And it drove him to go through great lengths to get up in a tree to try to see who He was. And to learn from Him. And how that goes for each one of us. Maybe it takes just each one of us, as we've traveled this road, maybe it took rubbing shoulders with somebody that just had a peace and a joy that you didn't have. They had a contentment you didn't have. Maybe you've seen something in their life and circumstances didn't rock them. It didn't sway them. Storms of life came and they took it and they moved on. Not an expression of falling apart and all of this that you see throughout the land, that when something goes wrong, it's always somebody else's fault. And, oh, this is why this is happening, and that's why this is happening. But without uttering a word, they just bear the burden, and their ship slides right through life storms. And there's something to that. That's not human nature. And that takes something greater than human nature to hold you in those times. And that's what, as we gather here tonight now, and we're looking at this, God's looking into our hearts. And I might stand here tonight reading your word and tell you I'm a strong Christian. I'm a man of faith. I'm a man of God. And I can tell you all of these great things. But my life is going to bear witness. And eventually it'll bear out before you. But even at this moment, God is looking down in my heart. And He sees my heart. He sees my desires. He knows the thoughts that are in my mind. He knows all this about me. And to prove that, here in Jeremiah the 17th chapter in the 10th verse, I the Lord search the heart, and I try the reign or the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So I want you to think about that. He's looking at us, and He knows that desire that's burning down in there. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're wanting from Him. He knows the pull that we have. And as we wait upon Him and we listen to God's word, and even as our brother was talking Sunday, how many times I've been to church. I've come and sat on the pew every time that I could all of my life. By God's grace, I was raised in church. That don't make me born again just because I was raised in church. That didn't make me a son of God just because I was raised in church and attended church all my life. But God had a special time in my life, a place He drawed me to, that place to where I realized He had chose me. And He had drawed me to a work for Him. And each one of us come to that recognition somewhere in our life, if when God's time and place, and we'll realize where we've always been an eagle. We've always been a son of God.
But there's a time and place for that, and God knows each one of us where we stand tonight, and he's looking down in our hearts, and he sees what he's placed in there. But what kind of fruits does he see from me? As I listen to his word, do I, my one setting back saying, oh, I'm not really too interested in that. Don't want that part of it. God knows all about us, and you can't just take part of God. You got to take him as a whole. And he wants all of you. He don't want part of you. He don't want this half of your time, but he wants all of our time. And we'll get to that here in just a moment. But if you would, let's turn over to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Very familiar little scriptures. Hey, man, just want to place this in your heart and maybe it'll find a hiding place there. Hey, man, may we always hold these things before us. But in Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse, we'll begin. For the word of God is quick, and our brother mentions this many times during service. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So oftentimes, the word begins to come forth, and sometimes it sounds like somebody's been talking to the preacher. Somebody's been talking about me and my ways. No, God's word feels that way to each and every one of us. And how many times of sitting in service and serving the Lord, and how when you would go out after service, after being under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and God's word coming forth, and you might be thinking to yourself, boy, that was really for me tonight. I needed that. Lord, help me. I see my short blaze. Lord, help me to reach those higher heights in you. And your brother might walk up beside you and say, wow, he was talking to me tonight. He was right down my alley. He knew exactly what I needed. No, the brother that brought the word didn't know. But God does. He knows exactly what each one of us needs because he's looking down in our hearts and he knows what it's going to take to catch our attention here, to grab our attention over there, and to pull us to what he wants us to be. He is the great sculptor, and it's what he's working on, his great masterpiece. And each one of us, he's got a place for us within that. And he says he's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And oh my, how nothing's hid. We can't hide nothing from him. We might hide it from me. I might hide it from you. But God looks down and he searches our hearts and our reins. He knows exactly what we got need of. So oftentimes when we begin to gather around God's word and it begins to prick our heart and to show us, oh, don't run from that, but rush into it. Push into it and let God take you in his great hands. And he'll begin to mold us and to mold you into what God wants us to be. But let's go here to Revelation, the 3rd chapter. And read a little thing here. This is the message to the church of Laodicea. And realizing that was the last church age and that's where we're at. Amen. But here in Revelations 3 and 14, as the angel speak, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. And beginning at the creation of God, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would thou wert cold or hot, so that because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, and if we're cold, not cold and we're not hot, there's only one way to get one way or the other. And the only way you're only going to be to that hot place is to truly get into the word of God and let him begin to mold us. That's how that heat's going to come to where that first love, he becomes our first love, our first draw. Everything else in life fades away, and that becomes a focus point. But that doesn't just happen all overnight, but as we begin to be drawn, and he draws us closer and closer, each time our focus becomes greater to that, to make sure that everything I do becomes pleasing to him. And that's where he wants. In Matthew, just real quick before we read the rest of that, in Matthew, amen, the 22nd chapter, let's just throw this in there. Jesus speaking here. Amen. What he said. Matthew 22. Amen. Make sure I wrote that down right. 22:37. We'll read the 34th verse just to catch it. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. So just think of that. He didn't leave us no room. You must love the Lord thy God with all that's in you. There's nothing left for nothing else. He wants all of you. He don't want you just to come halfway, but he's beckoning to you to come all of the way. Son, I'm here waiting for you. Come, give me your life. Give me your all, each and every one of us. And we might sit right here and been sitting here many times, and maybe we're still holding back a portion of ourselves that we don't want to let him have. I want to reserve that right to myself as we finish on down here. He says, I know thy works. Let me drop down to the 16th verse, the third chapter of Revelation, or 17th. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. And oh, how that word has a way of just showing us up every little corner. And it gets in there and it roots around and it begins to find a lot of things. In that next verse he says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also have overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And you know, as he says there in that 20th verse, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And each time we gather around God's word, we can feel that little knock. There was a knock that got us to even gather in to listen to the word. And he was knocking. Oh, something caught our attention. Something's drawn us to listen to this precious word of God. Something's caught our attention enough to know that he's knocking on our door. And as it was put in one time by our precious prophet, he said, Why does a man knock on a door? To gain entrance. And how that door, when someone's knocking at your door, they don't open it and come in on their own. You've got to open the door and let them come in. Amen. And how when they knock at your door, they want to come in. And Jesus is trying to gain entrance to our heart's door. And within our heart, as the prophet put it many times, there's many a doors. And I wrote a few of them down. We have a door of selfishness. A door of our own self. What we want to, who we want to be, what we want to be, when we want to do it. And then we've got a door of our private life. I want to go do this and I want to go do that. Even though the word comes in, he's rooting in there. He wants to come into your heart and open up all of these doors that lay within us. He wants to open up everything that's laying in us. A door of pride. I don't want to be like them. I don't want to dress like this. I don't want to act like that. All of these doors, Satan's always in our mind, as we talked about that greatest battle going on. He's always in our mind trying to distort God's precious word. You don't need to go that far. You don't have to believe God like that. You don't have to surrender all of your life. You can just give him part of it. You can just come halfway. But no, God wants all of us. He wants you to open up the door of your heart. And he wants to come in there with a broom and a dustpan. And he's going to clean, and he's going to clean, and he's going to clean. Just like everybody's cleaning right now, he's going to spray the good old gospel bleach on everything we've got. And it will clean it out till there's nothing left in there but Jesus Christ and him alone. But you've got to be open to him. You've got to open the door and say, Lord, I welcome you. Come in. And then he will begin to show you ever so gently, son, this is how this ought to be done. He's not a hard taskmaster. Master, he comes in and so ever so gently will say, Son, look into my word. Here's my word. This is what we should be doing. And how each and every time it's just a soft whisper. It's not a brow beating and a, you got to do it like this. But God's word lays open before us. This is the choices. Here's the way that leads to destruction. It's broad and many go therein. Here's the way that's narrow and this is the chosen way. It's a little bit of a harder way. Maybe a little bit narrower and maybe not as many people go in that direction. But God is calling each and every one of us to that way. This is what I want, a surrendered life to me. Give me your all and come and let me take you by the hand and lead you in the way that I would take you. And how, as we find that chance and that, as he's knocking at our door, how we should be open to him and welcoming him and saying, Lord, here am I. Amen. taking me in your hands, Lord. Show me the steps that I can take to become more like you. And how that should be is each time as we gather in, that's what God's word does. Each time we come in and it begins to come forth and we sit under that precious anointing, it is his word is spirit and it is life. And it, as you hear it, it just has a way of melting your heart. It has a way of melting your spirit. Maybe you might have entered in the door with that, well, I'm going to be like this tomorrow. And God's word come and it just melts that all away. It has a way of taking you in his hands and ever so softly training you and teaching you the ways that he would have us walk. And it never fails. If you'll just let him lead you and guide you, it'll come out exactly the way he wants it to be. And oh, it's such a gentle way. Amen. Here in, let's go over here to Mark and catch a little story, so to speak, that Jesus used a parable. Amen. Actually, Mark 10 and the, amen, Mark 10 and 17. Amen. Got to get my handwriting a little better. Sometimes I write my own notes and can't read them. It's terrible. Amen. Mark 10 and 17. And Jesus here beginning to speak about this rich young ruler. And I want you to listen to him as he puts it in his own words. And when he had gone forth into the way, there come one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all of these I have observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And he said unto him, one thing thou lackest. And oftentimes, as each one of us gather in here, God's word comes. And it's just that way. He's looking into our hearts. We read the scripture. He searches our minds. He knows exactly what I have need of to be more like him. He knows everything. I might have everything I think I need. Just like this young man. He was able to answer and say. And he answered and said unto him, master, all of these I have observed from my youth. He looked pretty good. He was able to say, I've done all of this. And each one of us as we gather here, God's word is a measuring stick. And it's always, there's a new line every time we gather. For every time you come in around God's word, he's just got a way of showing you. The greater that light gets and the greater he gets in your heart, every time you gather around his precious word, you'll see something new, something different, something that's just drawing you a different way. There's not a day goes by that when you pick this up and begin to read it, it doesn't reshape your life to match it. That's God's provided way. It's the way he put it together. And he said, and then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about and saith to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto him, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But then Jesus looked upon them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. And I want you to think about that as we gather in here. We might have many excuses. Well, I've got this. I've done this. I've been there. This can't work. But give God an opportunity. He knows the one thing you lack. He knows the one thing I lack. He knows exactly what we have need of. And if we'll just yield to him, if we'll just continue to give him our ear, and just continue to pray and say, Lord, show me thy ways. Lord, help, show me how to open my heart greater. Show me how to be more humble, Lord. Show me how to yield and to prepare myself for service.
that, Lord, you could take complete control of my heart and my life. We know that he said, if a man loves me, he will keep my commandments. Yes. And we have it laying here before us, all of these precious words. But we can't leave one out. It's got to be every word. Yes. And everything has to be manifested, even the little things, brotherly kindness, love, long-suffering, peace, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. All of these things have got to be evident in our lives as we grow and continue to mature in Christ. And if he's on the seat of our heart, and you know, as it's been brought many times, Jesus Christ is a person. And a person has a personality. And you have a personality and I have a personality. But when Jesus comes in and sits down on the control seat of your heart, he brings his personality with him. And his personality is a lot larger than my personality. It's a lot greater than your personality. And it has a way of taking our personality and just molding it and hiding it and folding it away. And his is all that can be seen. But we want him to do that. We want to see our personality gone. We want to see who I used to be, what I used to be, all gone and done away with, and be left as an example and a trophy of his glory and his grace. For it's nothing good that I can do, nothing I've ever done. But it's only his mercy and grace that caught my ear, that knocked at my heart, at the door of my heart, and drawed me to this precious word. And then it continues to draw me every day to give him my life and to yield to him and to surrender and to let him have that full preeminence in my heart and life. And how each and every one of us should be searching for that. You know, we're in trying times, even for many Christians, as our brother mentioned, not being able to go to church, getting away from that spirit, of being able to gather in under the anointing of the Holy Spirit here. Each time, sometimes that's the only time people got to feel that anointing. That's the only time they get to feel that sweetness of the Holy Spirit. But how we ought to live in that spirit, how it ought to be with us day in, day out, wherever we are, the abundance of the Holy Spirit flowing out from us to others. It keeps the peace in the home. It keeps the peace in the heart of the husband, peace in the heart of the wife. It keeps the children under control. And it keeps that little dove flying about the house. And how we want God to have that full sway in our lives, that no matter where I am, that little dove is always there, present, a peacefulness, a sweetness, always bearing about that the presence of the Lord is always near. He's right there. He's not off someplace else when I'm over there. Maybe I'm running down here to get something out of the shed to work on a tool. He's right there with me everywhere I go. Every step I take, he's right beside me. He's moving with me. He's in me. And he's watching every move I make to make sure, son, here's how it is. Every action, every word must be brought under subjection to this precious word. And how we should open up our hearts. He searches our hearts. He searches our minds. He knows everything we think. And then he knows what we're, our attention that we're given to him. But he don't want to just be your Lord or just your Savior, but he wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be all of you. He wants all of you in his hands and in his control. That every day our lives are lived for one purpose, and that's to see him glorified. Yes, I may have a home. I may have a nice car. I might be blessed to have this item here and that item there. But my focus is on one thing, that Jesus Christ be seen living in my heart and in my life. He is our morning. He's our everything to us. He's our full surrender. Everything we do is based for his glory and his honor. It's not living for ourselves, but we live for him daily to do whatever he has need of, that it would be seen in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. But he knows us, saints. He searches our hearts and he's knocking at our heart's door. But even as that young man went away grieved, because he come looking and he come asking. But all, may we reach out just a little bit deeper and take in whatever he tells us. Lord, here am I. Let me, help me get to that peace, Lord. We must follow the instructions. As we've said many times, this is just a book of instructions. Just like when you buy a desk or something to put together from the store and it comes with the instructions that so many of us like to just throw on the floor. I can put this together without that. And many times about halfway through, we realize we got to go back and pick that back up and see how to get it put together. And that's how this works every day. You can't live without it. You can't skip one step. You got to take it into your heart and every day open it up and say, Lord, what's the instructions for today? What's my next instruction? Where's the next two before go? Where's the next nail go, Lord? And he will put it all together in place and in time. And nothing gets out of line. You can't have the walls without the foundation. You can't have the foundation without someone first digging the hole.
It all takes place at the right time and place. And God is watching over his word to make sure that every one of his little elect is going to find that place exactly at the right time and right place. And he will build them up. If you look at all of nature, the little cow that starts out ever so small and grows to be a great magnificent bull. You look at the great big elephants and the whales that are in the sea, how great and majestic and how big they are. And how God has made them and developed them into those things. And we can see his majesty and all of that. How much more time has he put into you and I to make sure that we will be a true reflection of his character? Oh, I serve a living God. I serve a God that's great. Amen. And many times it may have looks like the road gets rough and it's hard and it's long. And maybe I don't know where to turn and I don't know how to do this and I don't know where to go. But always remember, the instructions are laying there. And they've been laying here for many, many years. But at each time, God knows when to remind you and say, here's your instructions. And if you'll just back up and catch that one instruction you've tried to step over, it'll bring the picture back into focus exactly the way I want it to be. But all may we give God is our full, undivided attention and say, Lord, I'm listening to you. I'm focused, Lord, on what you have for me in your precious word. Hey, man, you sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Just a short little text, but praying that it'll help us catch our attention. And it doesn't matter. As I said, some of us may have been in this word a long time. But you know, oftentimes, as we had mentioned, sometimes it takes circumstances of life to come along just to go ahead and show us where we're standing. A little checkup, a little awakening. Do I have what I said I have? Or have I just been going along? It's so easy. You know, I think of the disciples out on the sea. They were quite the seamen, fishermen, great fishermen. Been in a boat many, many times. But all them great big waves come up and that boat began to toss. Jesus laying in there asleep, just sleeping away, peaceful in there. And here they got scared and afraid they were going to perish with all that was happening around them. And all he said was, peace, be still. And everything just like that went calm as glass. And oh my, how he is always there to calm the storms of your life if you'll just follow his instructions 100%. There is no guesswork when he comes on the scene. It'll all be peace and still, just like he speaks. Amen, and it'll work to his glory and his honor. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. Pray you could take something from it. Amen. Very short exhortation, but God knows everything. Amen. And I serve a living God. Hallelujah. Hey, man, I had a song on my heart, and I can't remember what it was, but hey, man, let's just try that little chorus, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I won't sing the whole thing, probably just the chorus. Hey, man, I was thinking of that today. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want. To see you, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see. Amen. You know, there's more words to that, but I just like to repeat that over and over. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you every day. I want to see what you've got for me, Lord. And I want to see you in your greatness and the word that I want to see it in its fullness, Lord. Open my eyes. Lord, don't hide anything from me, Lord, but open my eyes that I can see. Amen. Let's just bow our heads if you would. Lord, we are so grateful for this little time we've had together. And Lord, I'm not much of a speaker, but Lord, your precious word is so powerful. And Lord, if we'll just open up these precious pages, and Lord, just humbly ask you to lift the words off of there, Lord, and to pull them into our heart and make it more real, Lord, you will do that. And Lord, as you illuminate one scripture, Lord, another one comes to life over on another page. And Lord, but we've got to yield to you, Lord, and give you that opportunity to take this precious word and to put it into a picture, Lord. Many times it's as when an artist picks up a paintbrush and begins to paint a picture. He makes five or six strokes, Lord, and
all, sometimes it just doesn't look like nothing. And you sit there and maybe wonder, what's this going to be? How's this, what's it going to make? But as you continue to watch, Lord, you see that each stroke, it brings out another line and another line and another line till pretty soon the image materializes off of that page. And Lord, your precious word is doing that each and every day in our hearts and our lives. Line upon line, word upon word, here a little, there a little. Lord, it brings each mature son and daughter into that shape and that image of what you wished us to be. And Lord, we just humbly ask that you give us the grace and the mercy, Lord, to surrender ourselves to you. Lord, we're living in a world when there's so much going on around us. There's sporting events going here and all of these worldly things, Lord, that take place every day, that crowd in and take our time. And Lord, right now, for the time being, Lord, you shut everything down around this great country, Lord. And this world that's here, the cosmos, Lord, it's all just come to a screeching halt. And Lord, maybe you're trying to give us that one last opportunity to get our attention and to say, I'm coming soon, and now's the time. If you're ever going to make it right, if you're ever going to get in tune with what I'm trying to do, this is your chance. And Lord, may we yield ourselves to you that you could take that great brush and continue to stroke, Lord, and to bring out that image of Jesus Christ in our lives. May we surrender our hearts to you, Lord, in a way we never have. And Lord, follow each instruction. Lord, if I've never been baptized and the scripture says repent and to be baptized, Lord, may I run to you and as fast as I can and repent of anything, Lord, that I've done that I was unsat, that wasn't pleasing to you, Lord, and go to that water and be baptized, Lord, for you said if you will repent and be baptized, ye shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord, may we take all of these words, these instructions, and Lord, it's your time and place, may we listen and hearken for Lord sitting right here under the sound of my voice or the sound of our pastor's voice, Lord, or wherever you're speaking, whoever you're speaking through, we can sit there, Lord, under that precious anointing and that Holy Spirit strike us, Lord, and turn all things around in our life. It can turn around our thinking overnight. It can turn around our desires in a blink of an eye. Lord, you are the great I am. You are Jehovah. And Lord, you searcheth the reins and you know all about us. And Lord, we yield ourselves unto thee and just ask you to have your way. Thank you for those that were able to gather here this evening. Lord, we pray for those that may still be sick, Lord, or afflicted. Pray you'll touch them. And Lord, we just pray that if you should tarry and it be your will when we gather Sunday, Lord, that we will come with open hearts and crying out to you. Lord, not just to hear a man speak, Lord, or just to be part of a church service, but Lord, that your precious word would search down in my heart and Lord, make a change in me. Greater, Lord, that you would be reflected. And we ask it all to your glory and honor. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, he's so precious. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. You're dismissed. Amen.